Welcome back. You're listening to Sounds Like Canada. I'm Tina Srebotniak. Mixing and editing sound is a big part of the work here at the show. In the old days, audio was recorded on a reel of magnetic tape and literally cut with razor blades. Now, of course, it's all done digitally. On the computers here in the office, you can see voices or pieces of music rendered in jagged peaks and valleys on a computer. That image of the human voice inspired a Winnipeg artist to create a piece of art that she calls Melitza. Her work explores the limitations of language. Risa Horowitz is the artist, and she joins me now from the Plug-In Institute of Contemporary Arts in Winnipeg. Hello, Risa.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Tell me about the room you're standing in. Describe it for me.
Well, it's a rectangular room with white painted walls, and there are 26 small white coffee tables surrounding the perimeter walls of the room. Each of the tables is for each letter of the alphabet from A through Z, and on each of the tables are books that I made of the amplitude waveforms that you described, representing the sound of my voice uttering each word in the Canadian Oxford English Dictionary. And the space also contains an ambient audio track of my voice reading all the words. It's a 22.5-hour recording from A through Z of that dictionary, and there's also a searchable website that viewers can search for words, call up the waveforms, and hear my voice read their words back to them.
Okay, so before we get to the critical issue of what possessed you to do this, can you tell me how you actually did it? I mean, did you read the words out of the dictionary first?
Yeah, well, I began with a preliminary reading of the dictionary so that I could, I marked the dictionary. I found that if I did a test recording without marking the pages of the dictionary, I would skip words. So that took place as a sort of public performance, actually, in a coffee shop in Saskatoon. Then I sat...
You were sitting there marking, underlining words in a dictionary.
Yes, I was.
In a coffee shop in Saskatoon.
I went in each morning for 32 days and had two double Americanos and read the dictionary. So I'd walk into the...
No wonder you missed the words. It was the two Americanos.
It got me through it, actually. And I'd walk into the coffee shop and the regulars would ask me, you know, so what letter are you on today, Risa? So subsequent to the initial reading, I sat at a Macintosh computer with a mixer and a microphone, and I systematically recorded the head words for the dictionary to a digital audio program.
So now let me just see if I understand this. First you read the words, you did an audio recording of the words.
Yes.
Then you took essentially a visual representation of those words.
Right.
You got that on a piece of paper, and that's a little wavelength.
Yeah.
And then you bound all like the A's together.
Yes.
And put them on these 26 tables in the white room. Right. Okay.
So each book has approximately 500 pages in it. So for the about less than 4,000 words in the letter A, for example, there are 6-8 books. For X, which only has 39 words, it's a very small book with 39 pages.
Which letter has the most words? I'm interested to know.
S. There are 16 volumes for the letter S.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, who knew?
The table's
who
almost,
would have ever known
the
if
table's
you hadn't
almost
done this,
toppling
Risa.
Over.
Okay, so let's get to what your interest in this is. Obviously, you like words, but what's this about?
What's it about? It's a sort of wishful thinking, actually, towards becoming more articulate. The letters of our alphabet are purely arbitrary visual representations that we, you know, culturally have come to learn to represent with sound, you know, to identify as sounds. So culturally, we've come to learn to identify the letters of our alphabet as sounds. And when they're placed in conjunction with one another, we've come to identify these letters as words that represent concepts. So the idea around translating the English language into waveform is that the waveform is a mathematically or empirically grounded visual representation of sound. So the hope initially is that, therefore, the waveforms would be better articulators of thought. But the faulty logic built into the work is that no one can read these waveforms. So they're absolutely inarticulate.
So the purity of it, in effect, denudes it of meaning. I mean, the fact that we have no clues as to what these wavelengths means that we're left out, right?
Not really. I would call this an interactive art installation for two reasons. The book is historically and continues to be the most well-known and well-identified interactive medium on Earth. So viewers are welcome to come in and read the books. And when you open the book, you see not only the waveform for the word, but there is in the bottom right-hand corner of each page the word written in the letters of the alphabet that we're familiar with. So, for example, if I approach a book, as a viewer might, and flip open, what volume would I flip open? Let's say I approach a table and I flip open volume 20, which includes all the words from Castile soap to chaise lounge.
Yes.
And open up the book. I find a waveform, and in the bottom right-hand corner of the page, I'm told that that waveform represents the word categorize, which is apropos.
Yes, for somebody who likes to archive and categorize things, yes.
Yeah, if I continue flipping, I might find the word central casting. So the viewer is invited immediately to do something familiar, which is flip pages in a book. And moreover, the viewer is invited through the interactive website that we're approaching now in the gallery. I think these days people are pretty familiar with browsing through web pages and entering search fields.
Mm-hmm.
So when you approach the website, you see a search field.
Mm-hmm.
And the viewer automatically will say, what can I type into this search field?
And are there any patterns? What do people look for most?
People look for names. People will type in poems that they're familiar with. So there's a Leonard Cohen poem here that I can, well, not a poem, the title of a piece. Let me play that.
Dance me to the end of time.
Where's another one that would be a nice example to use?
I dream of a body without memory.
And here's a good Ginsbergian one that someone searched for.
I saw the best mind of my generation.
Some of the searches are a little naughty. I wouldn't feel comfortable playing them over the radio.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you wouldn't feel comfortable if you weren't. Okay, well, we won't get any of the naughty ones, Risa. But yeah, so when you, and I did this when I went on your website, what you get is a visual representation. You get the wavelength and you get the audio recording as well,
yeah.
Right? So you can kind of compare them. Oh, this is what Leonard Cohen's words look
exactly.
Like if they were reproduced on
exactly.
Paper.
Exactly. So I'll come into the gallery and I'll observe people keying in words for the first time, and they don't exactly know what to expect, and people are just giggling and laughing, and then they get into it. They're really encouraged to play, and people do play. So the initial sort of white bareness of the room, the very minimal aspect of the room, is totally transformed because people know how to leaf through books, and people know how to construct sentences and tend to like playing with words.
Tell me about the exhibit's name. It's called, is it Melitza?
The work is called Melitza.
Right.
That's a Hebrew word. I chose the word for a variety of reasons. Firstly, I didn't want to pick a word for the work that was in my dictionary.
Right.
Or that was a part of the language that I'm working with, so hence the Hebrew word. The word Melitza has a variety of meanings. It could mean figure of speech. It could mean utterance, and the dictionary definition of utterance is a chain of words not necessarily corresponding to a single grammatical unit. So the continuous audio recording that I've got playing behind me in the background, I don't know if you can hear it right now.
A little bit, yeah.
Fabian, Fabius, Fable. Fable.
That continuous audio recording is a pure utterance, not corresponding to a grammatical unit. So this all relates to my interest in language. We all, we agree upon the use of English language most of the time. I mean, not always, but we can get by. But it's a convention, and it's not always a perfect convention. So, in conversation with people, you'll often say, well, can you elaborate on that? Or I'm not sure what you mean. Can you rephrase your last statement? And all of this, to me, points to the insufficiency of linguistic communication. There's no perfect way to translate what goes on in our minds, our cognitive processes, into communicative form.
Yeah, well, and it's true, isn't it? I mean, even if you look at radio as opposed to if you and I were in the same room, we would communicate in a different way than we do on the radio because we're missing those visual cues that, you know, we might be able to give one another.
That's true.
Now, tell me about the reaction to your work. You say that people come in and they're able to, you know, they get the work, they're able to look inside the books, but what do people think of it?
What do people think of the work? I've had some very positive responses. People are really, they're playing with it. They're also a little bit astounded with the amount of work that must have gone into the production of the pieces. You don't often see a library in a gallery that's being produced by a single person. I mean, of course, I've had help and, you know, from various people and organizations in producing the work, but most of it I did myself. So it's been a really positive warm response so far.
Well, it's always interesting, you know, to run into someone else's passion, and you obviously have a passion for this. I just want to read one line in closing here, Risa, and this is from your own description of yourself, which I got from your website, and you say, my practice seems to be grounded in worry, repetition, compulsion, and endurance.
And endurance.
That's how you describe your work?
Well, I mean, that statement refers to all the different projects that I work on. Of course, Melitza is not the only artwork that I've produced, but I find that project, first, I'm a data collector. I enjoy working with large amounts of information and finding...
Oh, no kidding, Lisa.
Finding ways to organize information. And, maybe I should have been a library scientist. I find it very soothing, and I think that any artist who has any type of practice would say the same. Studio practice is a way of being at rest with oneself, enacting love and desire and passion. And for me, all of the work that I've put into Melitza over the past 3 years, although it's definitely over the top, the work is much more obsessive compulsive than I am, actually, in fact. But it's been a very straining and soothing process, meditative, contemplative process at the same time.
Well, I'd love to see the room. Thank you so much for talking to us, Risa.
Thank you.
And good luck with the project.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye. Risa Horowitz is an artist in Winnipeg. Her piece, Melitza, is on exhibit at the Plug-In Institute of Contemporary Arts until the end of May. If you'd like to explore her audio dictionary, the website will go live at the end of June. And the web address is www.risahorowitz, spelt the way you think it is. The first name is R-I-S-A, risahorowitz.com. And that's our show for today. Sounds Like Canada is on again tomorrow, and you will hear the fifth part of our series on the West Nile. This time it's a little chat group, a kind of salon. Talking about how West Nile is affecting your life, or is it, or are we all being neurotic and we should just, you know, get over it. We'll also meet Boy. He's a musician from Whitehorse. I think we played a cut of his last week or the week before. And we'll pay another visit to the Conscientious Kitchen in Vancouver. I'm Tina Srebotniak. I've been sitting in for Sheila Rogers, and I hope you join us again tomorrow. Goodbye.
Tiffany.